Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, March 7th, 2018. With me today, I have Kelly Gumont. How's it going, Kelly?
It's going well, Jeff. How about for you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you're here. And John Martellaro, how are you? I'm glad you're here, too.
Greetings, Beth. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad both of you are here. It's always fun when I get to do a show with the two of you, not just because if I want, I can toss a topic out and go take a 15, 20 minute break, but because I really enjoy our conversations. You guys are a lot of fun. So let's just hop right in.
Okay.
Let's start with iTunes LP. So the background on this is that I forgot who it was. It might have been mirror.co.uk, maybe. Anyhow, someone got a hold of a memo that Apple supposedly sent to music industry executives saying that they are phasing out iTunes LP. They won't accept any new iTunes LP content starting April 1st this year. And by the end of the year, they will have phased out everything. So you just can't buy it anymore. If you've already bought something, you still have access to it. But,
so this means Apple isn't selling music anymore because everybody wants you to use Apple Music instead. And so obviously Apple is doomed, right? That's where we're headed.
That's exactly where we're headed.
Okay.
And so when I read the initial piece, my thought was, that's exactly what they're saying, because that is exactly what they're saying.
And because iTunes LP, LP stands for long play, and it comes from the days of the record when the LP was like the big version and the single was the small version, where you got like one or two songs.
Long play.
That's where it comes
33
from.
And a third ran longer than the old 78s.
Takes longer than a 78.
Those were born in the 18th century.
And John's going to roll out his Victrola, and we're totally going to rock out. Yeah.
He's got that John Philip Sousa imported remix. I can't wait.
Oh, man, that's the best. Yeah. That was actually really funny. Anyhow. So the thing is, the initial news totally ran with Apple's going to stop selling individual song and album downloads, and everyone else ran with it too. And I'm sitting back doing a total WTF, because that's not what I'm seeing happening with this at all. And I'm not getting why people are conflating Apple dropping a product that most people didn't even realize still existed.
Ooh, I know why.
Okay.
Because Apple has decided to give up on naming things logically. So an iTunes LP, stay with me, kids. An iTunes LP is not the same as buying an album of music on iTunes. Because albums and LPs are totally different. If you ask iTunes, if you ask the rest of the world, an album and an LP and a record are probably all the same thing, which is a unit of songs that in the physical space is a larger unit. It's what used to come in those 12-inch cardboard sleeves, for people who don't remember. It's like iTunes is a 3D printer, and you can print out actual music and play. Yeah, the thing that Jimmy Fallon holds up when a band is on his show, that's a record. So
ask your parents how they used it for sorting.
I love that our podcast gives people homework now. So that's the problem, as far as I'm concerned. This is the same thing as making sure that nobody can ever find an answer to whatever Photos on their computer is actually doing, because if you go try to Google like Photos crashing on Mac, you're not gonna get anywhere. So I feel like this is partly Apple's fault for handing another Apple is doomed headline over to people on a silver platter.
Well, it's also Apple's fault for dabbling. You know, it's wise, I think, for a company to have grander perspective about the durability of its products. It's okay to experiment from time to time, but Apple's had so many projects that looked like they were going to be cool. There was a lot of fanfare wrapped around them. Apple pressured people into thinking this is really great, And then it turns out not to be so great after all. And then Apple cancels it, and then people grumble. And this has been happening over and over again. Not rarely, but fairly frequently.
Well, in this case, I liked the idea.
It's people gun-shy to invest in something because they figure, well, you know, Apple's going to cancel it if it doesn't go swimmingly.
But, John, didn't you like the idea of these, though? Because I did. Because part of what I still don't like, because I'm that person, part of what I still don't like about a digital purchase is that I don't get liner notes. I read them, and I love them, and I pore over them, and I spend time, and...
It's like stamp collecting. Nobody has time for that stuff anymore.
Maybe, but I make time for the stuff that matters to me. And if you don't believe me, ask me about the stack of CDs that just showed up at my house that are the 2018 remasters of a bunch of Pet Shop Boys albums, because it makes me really happy because they all came with an additional disc of content and a huge booklet. And I'm so excited. Anyway, like totally ask me. Obviously, I can go on about it for some time. But I liked
the
idea
of...
the
first thing you throw away when you're cleaning house is all these little pieces of paper and notes and catalogs and... stuff gets in the way.
I do throw away little pieces of paper and notes, but that's because I have a lot of little pieces of paper and notes. Liner notes are precious to me. I will save them from a fire. So I liked the idea of getting digital liner notes and getting some videos. Like, I really thought that this would help videos become a little bit more common and a little more popular again, as they were in my heyday. Gather around, kids. It's story time about the old days.
Back when MTV showed music videos.
When it was called music television and meant music television. And I thought that's what we would be getting. And we only got like one, and it was Beyonce. That was like a video album. And I really thought there would be more of that. So I don't know how much of this is Apple put it out there for people to do and then nobody did it, basically. And how much of it is that there's some other factor at play, because I don't feel like it would have been all that complicated to throw in a couple of videos if you were already making the videos for that album in the first place to give them to people. I would like to hear it.
My hypothesis is that Apple came up with a really good idea, which was a way to bring more of the physical LP experience to the digital world. So you get all your liner notes, you get the extra photos, and but they can go beyond that. So you can have other behind the scenes stuff, the videos, mini documentaries, all of that stuff that that you can do with an LP experience, but when it's on your computer. And then the record labels just really didn't get into it, because as far as I know, there are less than 400 albums available as iTunes LP, and this is over what, a 10-year period, because that's about how long iTunes LP has been around. So the record labels, they just really didn't adopt it. And then Apple, they dropped the ball on their end when they never brought iTunes LP support to iOS. So the places that people tend to be experiencing their music now, they're not experiencing it in the same place that they did 10 years ago. This is about listening and experiencing music on an iPhone or an iPad and not sitting at your computer.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, the whole idea of liner notes, I know how you feel, Kelly, now, and I respect that, but the whole idea of liner notes was you had to sell this plastic disc of vinyl, and you had to put it in some sort of protective covering. And what are you going to do on that protective covering? Well, you're going to sort of, you know, billboard it and put cutesy notes and stories and, you know, and have people be physically fondling the album and clutching it as they come home from the music shop and sitting by the Victrola, you know, reading the liner notes. You know, nobody has time for that anymore. So much
this
stuff
is how
is coming
I know
at
you
us.
Really are a Vulcan.
Secret's out.
The whole experience with listening to an album with your headphones on or your big speakers, and you're sitting there. Okay, I'm going to totally go the whole way with this. In your beanbag chair.
Do it.
And a lava lamp.
With the black lava light. Lamp. And and you've got that album
just
out.
Come out with it, Jeff. It's Led Zeppelin 4. We know where you're headed.
And you're totally stoned. And you're sitting there with this album. And you're going through the liner notes. You're reading lyrics as the songs are playing. You're looking at the photos that go along with the album. That even
and
if
grandma's in the corner sewing the buttons back on your shirt.
Yeah, but that's okay because that's what she loves doing. So regardless of your chemical state, the whole experience of having the album while you're listening to the music and having all this other content you're absorbing turned it into this very personal multimedia experience. And I think that's something Steve Jobs really wanted to create. And so Apple came up with what could have been a great idea for this, and it just never took off. So much so that when I saw the news about iTunes LP being canceled, my first reaction was, wait, that was still a thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once I realized what they were talking about, that was where I went, was I didn't even realize people were still doing this. Now, keep in mind also that the experience that they were selling with iTunes LP is not the same as you can buy an album on iTunes as a unit of music. Let's take Led Zeppelin 4, and it will come, it usually comes with a digital booklet, which at least is part of the experience. That's the part that I like. So I honestly don't know if I ever bought any of the LPs that they're talking about, unless that Beyonce one counts.
I certainly did not.
John, how are you immune to, oh, Vulcan, sorry. I couldn't figure out how you were immune to Beyonce, and now I know. Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's clearly not going to put a ring on it.
Antibodies.
That's right. But I tell you, Kelly, once every 7 years, he is all about Beyonce.
This is true.
Yeah. So, okay. So the big point is, for me, iTunes LP is disappointing in that it could have been so much, but at some point Apple just has to cut the cord and or cut its losses and just let it go. And this does not,
which is not available on iTunes LP, by the way. Let it go.
Oh, well, there you go. Good reason why it's ending. and this does not mean that Apple is out of the music download purchase business. Of course, they want people to have an Apple Music subscription, but there's a lot of people that still want to buy music, and Apple is going to continue selling it. The record labels want people to continue to do this, and so it's not going away, at least not for a while. And there you go. So people are taking what's the story people are taking is iTunes LP was still around, and twisting it into Apple is going to stop selling music and force everyone to subscribe only. No, that's not what's happening. A product no one was buying is going away.
Swift journalism, shoot from the hip.
There you go. All right. Well, there's something else I want to talk about today, and this is a topic that I have no idea where we're going to go with this. John, yesterday you wrote your own take on something that David Pogue had investigated, which is this phenomena of people holding their smartphones vertically to record and then also watch video instead of rotating them so they're horizontal, so you get the traditional movie screen style view.
Landscape.
Yeah, the landscape view. So,
yeah.
So what's up with this?
Well, it turns out that it's physiologically more convenient to continue to hold your phone and grasp it in its vertical mode. And the fact that people have to turn the phone sideways and hold it in an awkward fashion is annoying to many people. And there's trend that David Pogue pointed out, especially with millennials, that they tend to hold their phones vertical even when they're watching a horizontal format video, which means it's much smaller. Same aspect ratio, but it's smaller on a vertical screen. And they like that because they can hold their phone more easily. And the argument is when you're taking video, people tend to be vertically oriented. Objects around them, buildings, trees, even mountains, whatever tend to be vertically oriented. They like the idea of capturing more information about themselves. This probably came from the selfies phenomena, where if you take a selfie in a horizontal mode, all you get is the face and upper shoulders. But if you take a selfie in vertical mode, you get maybe all the way down to the waist, and so you show more of the person. So it's psychologically more pleasing to record in a vertical fashion. You may have seen news videos where the TV station has had video donated to them, and it's in vertical mode, and they have to have the blurry sidebars. Mm-hmm. It's because when people record, they grasp their phone. They don't tend to put their finger over the lens like you do in horizontal mode. And it just seems all around more convenient. And it violates our aesthetic sense of the idea that videos, like theatrical movies and TV shows, should be in horizontal format. So David introduced the notion, talked about it as an effect, didn't try to present any solutions or put in place any blame. Smart. He just talked about fact of. It's the March issue of Scientific American, David Polk's column. Right. And so I diagnosed it and went a little further and talked about how it's probably part of our evolution, our opposable thumbs, the fact that we tend to hold slender objects more comfortably, but our natural vision isn't two-dimensional, being land creatures. And so our eyes are tend to be more focused on horizontal threats like the lion in the bushes than maybe a hawk overhead, which is not as big a threat. So there's this dichotomy between the broad landscape of theatrical movies and our survival vision and the physiology and evolution of our opposable thumb and hands and how we like to hold slender objects. And this has come crashing together in what David calls the age of aspect ratio hell, where we have these two conflicting formats. And so I kind of diagnosed it from a physiological and evolutionary standpoint. It's a lot of fun.
I want to share my thoughts on why I think this is happening. And so first, our natural tendency is to hold our phones in our hand in a portrait mode. And so people just tend to continue to do that. I think another problem is that everyone now has a camera. And most people, just because there's so many people that have cameras on their phones, most people have no idea how to frame shots. And so it doesn't occur to them that they're taking video sideways. And so that's just how they take it. And then the third part of this is that so many people use Facebook. And Facebook has their whole system for video set up so that you have to hold your phone in portrait mode, not landscape.
Yeah, David mentioned that.
Yeah, so Facebook is reinforcing this idea. And while I just do not like the portrait video phenomena, it just drives me crazy. I get that this is a thing, and this is part of the natural evolution of how people consume media. And I expect at some point we're going to see a lot of mainstream video content that's being produced solely for portrait viewing.
Yep. Yeah, I mentioned that in the article. We're just going to have to learn to live with it.
Yep. Kelly, you've been uncharacteristically quiet.
Because I don't have a lot to contribute on this topic. It's wrong. And knock it off. And I can manage to rotate my wrist 90 degrees to actually watch something at a reasonable size. Given the acreage on these screens, maybe that's the reason nobody cares anymore, is because if you have enough phone, of course you don't have it in your pocket because it doesn't fit in your pocket if you have enough phone anymore.
Yeah, especially if you're a girl.
Exactly. Then maybe it doesn't matter so much to you. Like maybe screens are wide enough that this isn't the issue it used to be when all anybody had was like a 4 or a 4S sized slab of glass and metal.
The original phone was 240 by 320. Choke.
Wow.
And the new... And what's the size of an icon on an iPhone 10?
It's actually
because it's probably more than that. So like for me, it's wrong. And like one of the magical things about having opposable thumbs is that I can hold it vertically, but I can also put enough tension against it with my magical opposable thumb that I can rotate my wrist to the side and I can see it that way. And it works just as well because my phone is smart enough to go, hey, I'm sideways. Let me fix this aspect ratio for you. So, but I'm also like, I understand that I'm an edge case.
It's constant. It's just the size of the photo, of the video that changes.
That's what I meant, was the size. Yeah. So my issue is that I'm an edge case and I have to live over here in out on the edge, apparently, because I use my phone primarily with my left hand. I think the screen is too big since I can't reach everything with my thumb because I have teeny little hands. I think it's fine to go ahead and rotate the video. Sometimes what I want out of the video is the audio. Sometimes I'm not watching a video as much as I am listening to it. Sometimes I'm actually watching the video. And if I'm actually watching, I want to turn it sideways. And I do grumble at the news when all the news has as user submitted video for a thing is vertical video, because I find it really frustrating, because now that everybody has these giant TVs in their houses, why are you giving me this crappy vertical video? And I think
people hold their phone when they're shooting portrait video, they've clamped onto their phone really solid. Yeah. Don't have to worry about putting their finger on the lens. If you look at how people hold their phone when it's horizontal, they cup it with four fingers very delicately on each end, so they don't put a finger on the lens. And it's easy to knock the phone out of your hand or drop it. So there could be other reasons for that.
Well, yeah. The primary reason is the one that Jeff already gave us, which is vertical, which is Facebook.
Yeah.
The problem is if Facebook would rotate sideways, people would probably rotate sideways. If you share a lot of video via Facebook, then you're just going to hold your phone vertical all the time because that's what you are used to doing. It's a muscle memory kind of an issue. And that's part of what I find frustrating about this is that it feels like Facebook is, again, dictating the larger implementation of technology in other places. And I don't like it. I don't like one company, whoever they are, whether it's Apple, whether it's Facebook, or whether it's Google or anybody else. I don't like one company being the one that dictates that. I don't feel good about it. And if I'm going to have this beautiful, like, I can carry around a phone in my pocket that shoots 4K video. Like, I would be offended if I would offend myself shooting 4K video, let alone my friends who do video production all the time, by doing that and then doing it vertically. Like, that just feels... It feels like cheating.
You know what's next, Kelly? Some adventurous director will shoot an entire TV series in portrait mode and put it on Netflix.
I'm fully expecting that to happen. You are laughing, but it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Thanks, John, for putting that out in the universe for us to wait for. Yeah, for setting that timer. Now I'm not sure if I'm more mad at...
Blame on me. It's all my fault.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm more mad at you or the person who just heard that and went, yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. But as soon as someone finds a video that's been recorded professionally, where it's done in portrait mode, let me know, because it's only a matter of time, and I only have one set of eyes. So you listeners, you will probably come across something faster.
Yeah, and let me know too, in case Jeff misses it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Hey, you're welcome. See you later, Kelly.
Bye, John.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow.